There you go.
I'm walking home from school. Even though the school bus would get me home 40 minutes earlier, I'm walking in the cold rain. Because I don't want to ride that school bus. See, I was picked on as a lot as a kid. And a school bus was hell to ride on for me. So I avoided it at all costs. I didn't do good with relationships. I don't know why. I don't know if it was my manner of behavior or how I looked or who my family was. I wasn't the most picked on, but it was a very unpleasurable experience for me. I didn't fit in. I couldn't establish good relationships. I didn't have what it was that what it took. There's no manual to life. No book to read. My family was well. There was not dysfunction in the family. I didn't understand at the time what was wrong or anything like that. I don't think I could ever. But shame was an important part of my life because I felt it every day. So much so that sometimes I actually dreaded going to school. Sunday evenings were the worst nights because I'd have to wake up Monday and face that confrontation. Some years were good, some years were bad. The shame was horrible. Sometimes I get punished pretty hard by my parents. The words were more painful than the yardstick. Some of the words were very shameful to hear. I would wonder, why am I not good enough? Why do others have it better? Why do others go to school and they get it better? There must be something wrong with me, I'd tell myself. Or I wouldn't be where I am today. So here I am, a senior, listening to some of the people in my band talking about how they go out and drink, have a good time. I thought, wow, that must be cool to be part of that clique there. They can go out, have fun, hang out with each other, have a good time, and drink. So, January 1, 1982, I went out with them and I drank. Guess what? I was hanging in, I was fitting in. I wasn't being shamed because I was with them and I was drinking. That became a constant theme with that group of kids that grew up into a group of adults. But we didn't stay together very long. You know, a little lack of maturity on my part, not planning my life out, I did manage to get an education. The other two did not. But I also got a child. So I grew up and the life was going on. And the relationship was always on and off sometimes, but I was in the Navy and I'd be gone from the household for a lot of the time. So my wife at the time would visit other men. So that relationship didn't last. I picked up a second relationship, and this is when the thrones of codependency really hit hard. I was saving a person from depression. I was married for 13 years. With this person, and not all of it's bad. We still talk from time to time. Remember the good times. But this person, in the 13 years they're married, probably attempted 20 to 30 suicide attempts. I was always the rescuer. I was the saver. Me and my Psych 101 degree was going to save her. I was going to fix it so that it wouldn't happen. Obviously, that was a fail. And I would go to bed at nights worried If I'd be calling up her mom and saying, this time, she succeeded. That kind of sticks with you when you deal with that for as many years as I did. And then, I've been afraid. Probably the most important person in my life. My best friend. Still to this day, strong, powerful, incredible relationship. Inspired me to find sobriety. As a drinker, locked into alcoholism, nothing can be changed until the alcohol goes away. All other recovery doesn't, nothing happens. The alcohol becomes the main problem. And I found sobriety. And the codependent relationship that I have with my wife at the time couldn't handle it. Because the very first thing that that my friend told me when I found sobriety, you're codependent. So I went to the meeting, codependent meeting that I still go today, the Monday nights, New Days Help. And I started to peel back the layers of the onion. I started to see exactly what was going on. That I was being a rescuer, but it was not a loving relationship. It was a self-serving relationship. And in doing so, I was causing pain and harm to me and to those around me. And I had an answer for that. However, the relationship could not handle that because I was no longer feeding the fuel to rescue. A helicopter flies. A wife, white as a ghost in my bed. Pills spread all over the kitchen sink. A life flight to save her from herself. A suicide attempt that came very close. At that point in time in my life, I recognized the fact that this is going to be broken. And that I had this resolve to work on my problems, put the efforts and energy necessary to heal myself and my wounds. The relationship did not survive that suicide attempt. The funny thing about it is at that point in time, the world was caving in. Seeing it from this point in time, the light was at the end of the tunnel. For me then, it was about unraveling promises. It was about unraveling broken dreams. But it was also about the healing that could have presented to itself. The work, the 12 steps, the commitments to myself. To start to think that perhaps maybe what's important to me in my life matters. Matters over top of anything else, because there can't be any good to anyone in my life if I don't love me and I'm not a complete package myself. And to recognize that and to understand that was very important. And CODA is very important for me to understand this because it became a foundation for me. Not only did CODA present a path of healing, but it opened up doors and avenues for me to find more healing. It helped me find counseling, to find religion, to find a support group, to find all those necessary things that was in life that I could use as a resource that I didn't recognize or see. And I grew exponentially. Professionally, I started to take off. Whereas before, I was the chameleon who didn't want to be out in front and center stage. Now I am constantly out front and I'm in center stage. I relish to be out there. I relish to put it out there, to engage people, to solve their problems and to help them. But at the same time, I'm very grateful that I'm humble to recognize my position and know where it ends and stops, so that others can have their boundaries recognized too. And I recognize in myself, by being and recognizing that point, that the relationships that I have grow stronger because I'm not controlling them. It is a give and take process. And I'm so grateful for the steps that Coda has presented to me and the growth and the opportunities that I decide to put energy back into Coda. And I'm very pleased that I help in the intergroup regarding the financing side of it, as well as outreaching through a website, that others who see help may find it. But I still need help. I still deal with it. I still carry fear of shame. That is a built-in reaction that I have. In a world where I'm customer-facing and the customers call complaining, when the call comes in, I get that very familiar ache deep in my heart that I had as a kid walking home because I didn't want to ride the school bus. So my meetings aren't over. My healing's not over. But I know that amongst here, through this group and the others which support me, it will go there. And I tell you, there's not enough tears that can be shed if I was to be spinning around and say goodbye to my recovery. Not enough tears that could ever bring back what would happen in my life if I was to let go of recovery. And I'm grateful for it each and every day. My worst day sober, my worst day recovered, is better than my best day in the throes of abuse. Thank you.